Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. It is time for Couples Therapy!
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. How are you, Naomi? I'm amped up. I just ate 2 mozzarella sticks and a clementine.
Wow, okay.
I'm living life.
High-low. High-low.
Life to the extreme.
I love it. You're on the edge. You're like a can of Monster Energy drink.
That's was my nickname. In high school, but for different reasons.
Was the nickname Monster? Was the nickname Monster Energy Drink?
Can of Monster. Anyway, let's go on to... we have so much to talk about before we get into today's episode. One of the things, Naomi, now, I believe you've been nominated for an award.
I have. I have been nominated for a 2023 Las Culturistas Culture Award.
Mm.
I've been nominated for the Joy Behar Award for stand-up comedy. And I don't even know if people vote. I haven't seen the information. It was brought to my attention that, you know, someone had listened to it. And I said, well, I absolutely have to listen to this. And the competition is stiff. Okay, there's several of us in the category, including my beloved Joel Kim Booster and Joe Firestone, as well as Roseanne. So, I mean, it's really anybody's race.
If you can't vote, you can at least... scream at Bowen and Matt online.
Yeah. Scream it. Don't direct people to scream it at a gay person online during Pride Month.
Send them. Well, no, it's not.
I know.
Well, now, when I was about to just say send them threatening emails and comments, now that just sounds wrong. When it was real, it was for you, Naomi. I was trying to.
On my behalf.
Marshall.
No, but we can't mobilize people in a negative way. My God. Absolutely not.
No,
we're not doing PR.
I would never.
There was an episode of Vera, one of my British murder shows, where the person who was killed did apparently what they call dark PR, where their whole job is to like smear whoever someone is up against.
Yes. You
know, not just politically, but it could be like a competing brand or company or something like that. And I never heard that phrase. So I was like very into, ooh, she does dark PR. She had to be murdered.
You can only do light PR.
Absolutely.
Only in the service of building celebrities' egos. and feeding the narcissism. That's the only way you should be able to use PR.
Do I have any listeners who want to be my publicist for free?
Yeah, does everyone do work, like 20 hours of work for free for Naomi?
It ain't 20 hours. Let's be real. No publicist is doing 20 hours for one client per week. Absolutely not. You send out some emails saying, will you, and have those emails be a copy and paste, because we get them too. And I'll be like, okay, you didn't even address this to the right people. You referenced the wrong name of the pod, but I get it, babe. We all be on a copy-paste journey.
Dear Joe Rogan, would you like to have comedian Naomi Ekperigin? She will talk about how much she loves ivermectin.
Can you imagine? So anyone would just like hit me up with that, you know? But that's not what we're going to go into, even though I was going to segue into something else entirely. Because yeah. I was like, well, I'm asking people to do things for me.
I was bummed we didn't get nominated for Best Couple.
I know. But these are celebrity couples. These are, you know, people were not, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, you, but now I'm an anchor dragging you down because my IMDb star meter rating is low.
Andy, you said it. I didn't. I don't even know why you would put it into the universe.
Fine. You know what? Next year,
what?
I'm going to become a star so that we can get nominated for that award.
Okay. So then
2024
is the year you become a star.
Yes.
Okay.
Me and Brad Pitt, of course. We're going to be hanging out.
Okay. You're going to be hanging. You and Brad Pitt, of course.
He's problematic now. Pick me a Pedro Pascal. Me and Pedro Pascal.
Oh, my God.
We'll be hanging out.
Oh, my God. If I could just see him give you a kiss on the cheek, I'd die happy.
Me and Daddy. You know what, Naomi? Enough levity.
Okay.
Enough levity, because we've got some critical things, critical words that we have to impart to you, dear listeners. Now, we don't like to yell. We don't like to scream.
I love to yell, but not at you.
Not at you. That's not
unless I'm yelling at you to keep it under 3 minutes for a voicemail. That is something I'll never not enjoy.
Well, this is a voice. This is some stern words about voicemails, Naomi. We've caught someone double dipping.
You're double dipping, guys. You're double dipping.
At least one person.
You guys are sending in questions to multiple pods.
To us. And we found, we're not going to name the person because I don't believe in shaming someone who isn't a white supremacist.
Yeah, but then I think she already yelled at them too.
Well, I'm not going to do that now.
Okay.
If this person also happens to be a white supremacist, which I don't know why they would listen to our show.
Good Lord. Talk about containing multitudes. Can you imagine?
I would shame them for that, but nothing else. Nothing under that. All right. Someone sent us a question that we answered on Jared Goldstein's episode. And we also found out they sent that same exact question to Ask Rana.
I mean, you guys, come on. Come on. Especially because I think they got their answer on Ask Rana.
Yes.
And then it's like, once you get an answer, you need to then follow up with an email to us being like, please withdraw my question.
Oh, it so has you're been saying addressed. You can send it to two, but then you have to withdraw the question.
I think you have to withdraw. Mm. Because if you really are in a frenzy and you're like, okay, these are two of my favorite podcasts that answer advice and
sure.
I want to hear from those people, I get that. But once you get your answer, you got to withdraw. Yeah. You got to write us, follow up, hey, I wrote you, or respond to that initial email that you sent and be like, hey, no need to answer, already did this somewhere else. Because now it looks like we out here copying Rana. And yes, Rana's an icon. Yes, Rana's out here setting the stage, setting the table, setting the tone. But we can't be looking like we just copying.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? But then you can't be out here giving us both the same question.
Yes. If you're writing us and you're writing Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
And one of us answers it.
You got to withdraw from the other.
You got to withdraw. You got to write.
You got to withdraw.
Dear Dax. Andy and Naomi handled it. Thanks so much
for trying.
Thanks for nothing.
Thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing, weirdo, is what you should say to whoever it is.
I want you to stick it under your armchair, pal.
Wow. Burn a bridge is what Andy's saying.
I would never say that.
But when you withdraw, you're saying really just go hard, you know, try to make an enemy.
Right. If Dear Abby answers your question and we didn't yet, you can write it. Hey, Dear Naomi and Andy, why don't you stick this under your stinky couch?
Yep. There it is. And then we'll read that out loud probably on the podcast. So
our couch, just for the record, not stinky.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we had, you know, there's so many animals. I'm like, we don't have people over anymore. But I remember back when we did, someone would come in and I go, be honest, does it smell like animal in here? Because I'm like, I'm so used to the scent and it's like full menagerie vibes in here. So
glass menagerie vibes, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, we're giving you a small town theater production of Glass Menagerie in this town.
Oh yeah,
in this town, in this apartment. Yeah. I've got another, before we get into the episode,
you keep
I've
saying
got
before we
another
get
matter.
So many things, but there's so many things that I don't want them fast forwarding because this is all information that you guys need, okay? This is information that you need. Now, if you're a member of the Patreon, patreon.com/couplestherapypod, you will have seen this past weekend that we unveiled a prototype.
A prototype. Couples therapy butt plug.
Yes, for the page.
In the flesh, or metal, as it is.
In the metal. And it is sleek, smooth, has a couples therapy logo on the end.
And so we unveiled. If you're using it, you will be able to be reminded that
right.
your favorite podcast is Couples Therapy.
That, you know, definitely, like, are you having an open heart? Are you having a loose butt in the moment of engaging in butt pluggery?
Do you know what it looks like? The spaceship from the Flight of the Navigator.
That's what the butt plug looked like?
Yeah.
He ain't crazy, y'all. He out of his mind. You know I don't know what that spaceship is. But I trust your assessment of it.
Yeah, just think there's a little Fred Savage inside.
God, now you're ruining
it. Your most erotic of moments.
Think there's a little Fred Savage inside. Don't do that. Don't actually think
at all. We'll put up a picture or video or something like that on the Instagram feed.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit later.
Everyone.
But, you know, Patreon gets first look.
Sure.
Right of first refusal. Patreon gets a first look deal, and they come and they tell us yes or no.
Yeah.
Continue with the prototype.
Yeah. Two extra episodes a month plus right of first refusal.
Exactly.
That's what Patreon gets. Patreon.com/couplestherapypod. We are on strike. We keep saying that.
I know. We keep saying it, honey. We strike it. We could appreciate you giving over if you have found joy in us over the last few years or longer. You know, let us know. Let us know.
You get something in return.
You get a little something extra. Have a good little time. Maybe I should just, like, do some improvised stand-up for the page. Maybe I should do that next month to get people, give a little back. Go a little back to the community. And also, I don't like to leave the house. So that could be good. But I did say a great many years. In fact, we are coming up on the 5th anniversary.
Ooh.
Of Couples Therapy Podcast.
Oh my God, that's
amazing. Can you believe it? To have our wedding and our 5th podcast anniversary in the same year. Not many couples can say that.
What is the 5th anniversary? China? Paper?
I have no idea.
I don't know. You're going to look it up while I keep talking.
Yeah.
In honor of the 5th anniversary, we are doing the first live show since the beginning of the pandemic outside Permanent Records Roadhouse. They
yes.
got a stage. They got seats. It's a great, we've seen, they do Hot Tub there with Kurt and Kristen every
yes.
week. It's great. It's a great little venue.
Yeah, and that'll be July 7th. You already said the date and the time?
July 7th.
Friday, July 7th at 7. 7-7 at 7.
Yes.
Can't forget. And also for those who do not live in LA, we're going to be live streaming it. So
yes.
live stream tickets will be available. So if you're in Delaware, if you're in Ames, Iowa, if you're in Brussels, Belgium,
Berlin,
you
Beijing.
Can, honey, I was trying to think of a third B and then I lost it. The point is, you can also get live stream tickets. We will put that link up, of course, up and out. We're going to be answering audience questions live. Andy and I will do an opening. Who knows how unhinged it'll be, but it should be a lovely time.
Literally my first time on stage in 3 years,
so
we'll see.
It'll be unhinged. I feel like he's going to do a lot of yelling because that's how he conjures his energy, but then I'm right next to him and I'm like, my ear. But then we'll do that. We have got Shantira Jackson, okay, one of our favorite episodes ever of the pod, the hilarious performer, writer Shantira Jackson.
Lacey Mosley,
scam goddess herself, Nori Reed.
Oh my God.
I mean, my God, we're pulling all the stops. We're bringing you the best, some of our faves, and we'll have more. So
the link will be in the show notes, and it'll be on social media.
Yeah, I'll be promoting. So. But the point is, the show is coming next month, 5th anniversary, Gorgina.
Is that it, Naomi?
Andy, I think it's time. I think that's it. We've got to get to
who's our guest? This was so much fun.
This was a fun, delightful time. We have the one, the only Jordan Carlos, honey, writer, actor, co-host of the podcast Adulting.
With previous guest Michelle Buteau.
And that's the one. And also, I'm going to say this about Jordan, a WGA East captain in New York. So he's on the ground. He's doing the work. He was wearing his WGA captain hat when we saw him. I think he'd come from the front line.
This is great. I didn't really know Jordan. We've like had friendly conversation at parties.
Right. But this is a really time, like a one-on-one or a two-on-one in-depth combo. Yeah. Simply delightful. Had such a good time. And I actually think it has one of my favorite laugh out loud moments of recording that hopefully you, the listener, will let me know if you know the moment I'm referring to. Hopefully it felt that way to you. Anyway, we will have a great time starting. I'm going to save it. Shh. We will have a great time starting now.
Roll it.
So
So here's what we could either start with. We talked before about your parents' marriage and your and your impressions of their marriage, because when they Zoom with you, they're Zooming in two different rooms. Or this came up, Frasier came up, and it just made me think, Frasier's dad was a cop. How corrupt do you think he was?
Wow, I didn't even know he was a cop. I just thought he sat in that chair. No, I didn't realize he came
in
from cops.
Seattle?
Yeah, major city. There's no way his record's clean. He is corrupt and he has definitely done something like what's his face? Ermentrout from from Breaking Bad. He's on that pipeline.
You know what? I think that's the thing about it, because I don't suspect him of ever, you know, any malfeasance, and then there it is, because it's as clear as the chair in that living room. Okay. In a mid-century modern wonderland, which is, you know, Dr. Fraser Crane's home, there was that busted out Ashley furniture lazy boy. You know, I mean, who knows? You know what I'm saying? It was just one big microphone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I thought that, I think that was probably from the evidence room, that lazy boy in the first place, from the evidence room. It was ill-gotten gains. He got it in an ill way.
I thought there was maybe cash in the cushions, now that you say this. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you, like, took a knife and you just, like, split open that cushion he sat on top of.
Ill-gotten gains spilling out.
That's what I'm wondering, if it's, like, that's where it was.
Now, Jordan, I gave you a choice between a real question and a bit, and you went for the bit. So,
let's unpack that.
You just fell into the trap, the couple's therapy trap.
Done. Oh, I am that guy. I am the Joker during couples therapy. When my wife can hunt me down and we go to couples therapy, I am Mr. Jokes-a-Lot. The therapist is like, stop it. That's so funny. You know, like a lot of like, and how does that make you feel, duck? You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, it's the spice of life. It's how it's running out the clock.
How dare you?
Running out the clock.
Naomi, keep talking. I'm going to give Mabel a bully stick.
Oh, yeah. Give the dog a bully stick or she's going to make our lives hell. Because here's what I was thinking. It's funny you say that you're a jokester. Because Jordan is wearing a hat that says WGA captain. And this for me reminded me, I was like, in my head, of course Jordan's a WGA captain. Because I think of you as like a good boy. Like, you're a good boy. You're like the person who's like, I will be in charge. I will set up the school project. Like, you have, and maybe it's just maybe because your wife is a teacher, or at least was a teacher last I checked in. And so for some reason, I'm like, these are just two wholesome kids who are just like doing good all the time.
Naomi, I just have poor eyesight. That's all. I just have poor eyesight. My eyes are weak. That's why I think the glasses make people think a certain thing. However, I have lived up to it. I am a good boy. I do show up. I wish I was more. I saw Josh Gondelman today, and Josh Gondelman, God bless him, we were in front of Radio City, picketing, a little DMOS in the morning. You know what it is. Mm-hmm. And Josh Gondelman was leading all of the chants. I don't know if he's been on the show. It's probably a friend of the show.
Yes, of course.
But yes, of course. And it was fantastic. And to just see him, and I was like, when I grew up, I want to be like Josh Gondelman. But he was, I mean, speaking of do-gooders doing good, like, he was doing so great. I do think that I am a do-gooder, and I used to do all class projects. You are correct about that. I don't know if you are a mentalist. I don't know if you're a judgmentalist, but you are definitely seeing through me.
I am definitely a judgmentalist.
Hold on. Save that pitch for after the strike, after the AMPTP caves.
The judgmentalist.
Because you're now combined two shows that people love, The Mentalist and...
All judge shows.
Ooh, that is so good. Finally, at last. a judge with mentalist capabilities. So I do think that, like, I'm always up my own butt, though, about being, like, a better boy and living up to that.
A better boy.
You got to be a better boy.
But I could be a better boy.
Listen, good, better, best, never let it rest. The good is better and the better is best. You have to up the game, folks. You know? That's what it is, you know? And I'm just so guilty. No, I feel like I'm doing enough. Mm. I ran into Joe Firestone, drop another name, and she said, I'm doing enough.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, let's get back to your parents' marriage.
Really?
Please.
No,
it's fine. I love my parents. My parents, they're great. They're great. I love talking about my parents. They're fantastic.
Are they in Texas?
They are in Texas. They will be married for 53 years come this August.
Whew.
And they are Joe and Lou. are fantastic people.
We love them.
They are very much in love. They are in love to the exclusion sometimes of their kids. They very much never asked for us to come back. Really.
Oh, once you were gone, they're like, that was that, yeah. The last 18 years were a mistake. Let's continue on with our marriage.
We get a lot of, when you return for like a, you know, a holiday, you get a lot of love. You get a lot of love. But it's like, I mean, it's like what Ben Franklin said about like fish, right? It's the same thing about company. After 3 days, throw it out. So like, it's
Ben Franklin really say that
he
about
did.
Fish?
He did, yes. Read the Poor Richard book, I think it is what it's called. Anyway.
Poor Richard's Almanac, of course.
That's what it is, Poor Richard's Almanac, but it's in there. And I was like, I read that, I was like, bars. my family is like that, and I can tell, you can tell, they just love to be around each other, they love each other's company, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna leave. Because they're all booed up, it's really cute.
But is that now, because how old were you when you got married? Because I think of you as someone who's always been married. God.
I think of you as someone who's always been married. Jesus, I was born in a tuxedo. Is that what it is?
Yes.
A little white dinner jacket. I was
the
born
placenta,
to get married.
And then a wedding ring came out.
Yeah. Exactly. It popped right out. I was born at Cartier. I've been married for 15 years. I got married when I was 29 years old.
Okay, so not crazy young, but I think what it is, right, in the world of comedy and like scrappy New York, you know what I mean? Like anytime before 35, I'm like, oh,
you've only known him married.
Yes, that's what it is. Only known you married, right? The person I met was married. You're one of the first people I knew with a child. Like it was a whole, you know.
Absolutely. I came out fully formed like a bumblebee. That's how you saw me. No, yeah. I feel like,
sounds
yes,
like a
I did.
Lyric.
Yes, I mean, but compared to my friends in Texas, I was like an old man when I got married compared to my parents. I was old when I got married. I do love the New York thing where people just like look at each other under like a microscope for like 10, 15 years, 20. Then for tax purposes, they say, you know what, we should probably.
You know? For
health insurance. We ain't getting no younger, so we might as well. You two got married.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Turn the tables.
In March. Mm-hmm. In
love
March.
It.
Looked at each other 13 years.
Trying to take the focus off of yourself? Interesting.
No.
Interesting tactic.
I'm really happy for you. But for me, in my day, it's like I was dating my wife for a long time, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. For 4 years. And then she said, and it was like really cool. And she was like, I'm not going to date you for a fifth year. So then I proposed to her. We proposed to each other. We proposed to each other, I should say.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you were both like, let's do this.
Wait, what was your, how did you feel in that? Because that's a pretty strong ultimatum.
Yeah. I felt very afraid. I felt that it had a 50-50 chance of working out, which is all marriages are 50-50. So it felt, I was like, what am I doing? But I liked that we had asked each other. And that always felt like a little different. So I knew we were going to be different. And we're always saying that we're crazy. We like to be like, oh, we're the craziest. And that's why we work. We're so fucking nuts. And so like, that's what we like about each other. And she's from Brooklyn, so her like, you know, her love language is resentment, and it's a lot of like, it's been, hey, from Brooklyn over here, Naomi. I mean, listen, when she loves to yuck people's yum, she loves that, but she means it with love. Mm-hmm. And look at you nodding your head. But it's,
we get it.
But it's
that's
okay.
Our love
it's
language.
Like, yes, because I'm not from New York, so I'm able to kind of chill her out, which is great. Mm-hmm. And she loves that about me. But being from Texas, big personality, so it kind of works. There's also regional pride until recently on my part.
Just recently?
Yeah, just recently. By
you know
recently,
the last
do you
straw?
Mean 1864? Like,
you know, it's the last. You know, it's the last straw for me. No, I'm kidding. No, there's so much I could let slide. It was so much I could let slide for a while. And then Then we came into the 2000s and it was all over. Mm-hmm. So that was it. That was it. Yeah. And I was like, Texas, I can't. I can't with you. But I wish you, I just hope, you know, it's like,
I don't wish her the best. I wish some of the people there the best. Do you know what I mean? Sure. But her as a whole, I don't wish her the best.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? But like everyone there, I'm like, I hope the party's okay. But then like when you leave, I hope the house burns down. Is that weird? Is that savage?
All my little boiling frogs. That was pretty savage. That was vicious, but it was.
I'm from New York. Unfair. Over here.
not unfair, y'all. You know, not like they burned it. Listen, all the people stuck in the blue states in the big red sea. I don't know what to tell you, but like they're in the blue dots in a big swath of red. Mm. And that's how life is in Texas.
Naomi's like Ratso Rizzo and Taxi Driver combined.
Oh, that is, those are two, what, hold on. Ratso Rizzo and, I'd like to think she has the spirit of Cybill Shepherd and not Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. Can we do that?
That's very nice. That's very nice of you. But no, let my husband speak.
So I get, by the way, I get the yuck the yum thing.
Yeah.
Even in the picket line, we find people. We have solidarity with all of our fellow writers.
Of course.
But even in the picket line, we find people to dislike.
It's like, oh, as we walk, we're just like, as we walk, kiss
oh,
me.
the number of looks we've given each other. Like, look at this person.
Well, I'm going to tell you writers? That. Yeah. But that has a lot to do with, like, look, in general, people in Los Angeles don't know how to walk. So now you put them all together in a clump, and it's just a mess. And I go, could you please keep it even? Could you please?
You know what? Stop pitching people your idea in the picket line.
That's
I'm going to say this right now.
Yeah,
stop pitching. Stop seeing another person and talking about your projects. We're on strike.
Because
I didn't want to hear that. Yeah. I didn't want to hear about your. If we're at a party, I don't want to hear about your fucking project. All right.
I know.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's we're a little. You know, I think it's interesting because it's funny. Who started that? You know, the whole meme of like the WGA East picket versus the West
Mike
picket.
Mike Drucker.
Was it Mike Drucker?
Our fellow.
What did Drucker say?
Mike Drucker.
Well, it was just like picture where like
what did he say?
Like WGA West, it looks like an Abercrombie catalog. And WGA East is Pennywise in a sewer.
Listen, okay. When it comes to LA versus NYC, you got your show ponies and you got your workhorses. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of us in New York got faces for radio, and that's okay. And we were out there in daylight today, and it was like, ooh, child. It was like, you need more water, less coffee. More water, less coffee. It
like Nosferatu like, in the sun.
gray skin. I mean, it was like, it was black writers and gray writers. That's what it was. And then people like holding up the sign and getting tired from holding up the sign. I was like, when was the last time you saw a gym? Good Lord. Then it's like,
that was me. Ugh. That was me. Like literally, it was windy last week, and I was like, oh, the wind is taking this sign. I can't keep it up if this wind gonna be fighting me. I said, the wind is fighting me. I can't hold the sign.
That was me too. I was like, I need a sandwich board. This is too much. I need a sandwich board. Hasta pronto. I just
That's
like,
great.
We did the NBC upfronts, and it was like, it was kind of fun because it was like this. It was all the suits, and they looked so good. Everybody looked so scrubbed, and then the writers are just like, bleh, bleh. I was like, join us. Like, absolutely not. This is an image-based economy. Look at you people. But I was like, we're on the right side of history. Wrong side of fashion. They were telling us.
What was the dating scene like in Texas?
Oh,
the dating scene.
Yeah, did you have girlfriends as a teen? Were you like, dating in high school?
Well, I did. Well, that's a great and complicated question. I did have. There were ladies that I did squire about town.
God.
Now, what happened was, often in Texas, we had a myriad of dances. There was always dances. There was the Sadie Hawkins dance, wherein a woman would ask a man to the dance. Now, fortunately,
that's crazy.
In my school,
hold on,
crazy must have come from that's actually from a comic book, wherein the character Sadie Hawkins, right? So she's boy crazy and loves his boy. So it's a change in the schedule. My school did not adhere to that. It was always a young boy would have to go out and hunt for a date. And it was hard. It was really hard, but I was able to always get a date in those critical junctures. I had a girlfriend when I was 4 years old, who will remain nameless. I mean, Freud says there's a latency period. Not for this guy.
It doesn't count. It doesn't. It's four years old. That's what adults were doing.
By the way,
that.
Freud says a lot of unsubstantiated things.
Did we rub butts in Rebershon Park? Maybe. Yeah, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice. Okay. So that was my. And by the way, we were default dates for each other then in high school. If we didn't have a date, you could always and just call each other up and be like, look, I need you on this. I've gone. You are the court of last resort.
Do you want to rub butts at the Sadie Hawkins dance?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, but like always in season. So then in seventh grade, eighth grade, there were these dances and you had to ask people out. And it was just horror shows.
Yeah.
I even asked a girl out. I remember in, I'm the hero of this story, by the way. I asked a girl out in the 11th grade and she was going to go to homecoming with me. And then it turns out she left to go to Costa Rica with her boyfriend for a getaway. And I was like, okay. And so I just drove around all night and didn't tell my parents. And then
did you know she had a boyfriend?
I was aware. I was aware of him.
Wait, why did she go to the dance? Why was she going to go to the dance with you if she had the boyfriend?
I think I was kind of like, I was just like a fail safe. And then she learned that she's going to go to Costa Rica really, really quickly. It's not her fault, guys. It's not her fault.
Hold on.
No, I'm just also trying to think of like high school Costa Rica with your boyfriend. Like this feels very advanced to be in
first
high
of all,
school. International travel with a boy.
This is how I learned about Costa Rica. You know, this is how I learned about the country of Costa Rica. Oh, great place. 85% literacy rate. Very pretty. Pura Vida. Great place. Great vacation spot.
Yes, that's how I learned about all of Latin America from women who ghosted me.
Women who have ghosted.
I had to learn that she left the country. I still went through with, for my parents at least, I went through this with the charade and like wore this tuxedo and then just like got, I think I went to a Starbucks and got like a cheesecake or something. And then I went home.
Oh, so you dressed up? So were you like dressed up at the Starbucks?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was dressed up at the Starbucks. I always wore like I love James Bond. I mean, I love a couple Bond films. And so I was like, give me the James Bond suit. And the guy was like, done. And he gave me this like James Bond tuxedo, which if you don't know, is the white dinner jacket with a shawl collar. Not black shawl collar, but a white shawl collar. And it felt great. And I knew she wouldn't like go to the, it was just crazy. I was a crazy kid. I have no idea how I made it through, but I did. And most of the time when I would ask a young lady out, now I will briefly touch on what went well, but just to focus for a moment on what went poorly, I'd always surprise my friends. They'd be like, oh, I'm so surprised that you like me. And I was like, what are you talking? We spend all the time together, you know, I'm completely into you. I support you in whatever you do. And then I remember asking this girl to say, we saw Romeo and Juliet in the park. Romeo and Juliet in the park.
Oh my God, of course, you're in love.
And then I was like, I have all the feels for you. And she's like, this is a surprise. So that was a lot of that. And I dated way too young. I would watch romantic comedies and think that that's what you were supposed to do. So I just put a lot of nice undue pressure on young, impressionable teens. And and I'd be like, you want to go to a movie and then get some dinner at like 18, 19, 20. And people were like, whoa, you know, like I was like, then how is this done? How do people hook up?
Right.
Like you're at a party and be like, don't you want to fake an orgasm while we're eating our eggs?
And then we'll be friends for 20 years until realizing that we're the one. But
exactly.
So wait, this is the 90s in Texas. Any Branch Davidians in the mix?
There were unfortunately, I was 3 hours from Waco. So, you know, I mean, that would have been spicy. But it's just the way Dallas is just so boring. It's sobering. But it's so boring that it is sobering. But all that to say, I did have a couple of really great dates in Dallas. I remember... there's a nice young lady in a park
today.
But wait,
we celebrated each other? Yes.
you celebrated each other?
In the park?
Okay.
Not fully, but we definitely celebrated each other. That was great.
First of all, for some reason,
Where was I going to take her?
Celebration.
Where was I going to take her?
You're correct. Well, yeah. Look, I grew up in the city, so I definitely don't know. But we've had guests on who told me that people would like hook up in cars, and Andy told me that was normal. Was there any
That's
access?
The suburbs,
right? Well, Dallas is any is suburb, but I also have to say the phrase "celebrated each other" really turns my stomach. I didn't know that until I heard it. So that's like good.
Celebrate.
Holiday, celebrate. Yes, I don't know. I mean.
When did I get a parody?
That's a poor turn of phrase.
That I could have sang. Yeah. Instead, I sang the Madonna song Holiday with the word
that's
celebrate.
That's okay, Andy. That's okay.
Yeah. But, I always put on Cool in the Gang's Celebrate when I'm about to hook up. We're going to have a good time tonight. I don't know if you've licensed that song. All right, so I feel like, listen, it was cute. We made out. We mm-hmm. snogged. We didn't grease, as we used to call it back
in
Texas.
Ew.
Yeah, they're greasing in the back seat.
Ew.
We hooked up a little in my mom's car, but she had this really... It was a beautiful car. It was like a BMW 3 Series, but those can be a little... when you put the seat back, it's like not comfortable. So there was that. Yeah. And then my dad
Mama would have known. She would have opened her door and she would have said, known. It smells like sex in here.
Smells like people have been greasing in the back seat.
Who is greasing in my seat? She would have known.
Well, you said yes. I think as a young youth, there was like I remember people talking about the smell of Boudici. I remember that, and I was like,
what?
Oh my god, Boudici. That was like Bernie Mac came up with this term called Boudici, booty, dick, and you know the rest.
And the other one,
And the other one, yeah. And he's like, smell like Boudici in here. That was in How to Be a Player. A great film.
Yep.
Starring a young Bill Bellamy. Did I see it in the theater? Absolutely.
She said, I gotta get some lessons. Well,
I wanted to know how to be a player. Yeah.
Well, that's what it kind of sounds, not really how to be a player as much as you said, watching a lot of rom-coms and seeming like you had a romantic notion of what it was to be with somebody where you're like, okay, how, you know what I mean? Like, the romance of it all, the performance of it all. Before you actually knew what was happening.
Yes. It's so dumb. I mean, I was like, first you got to get a loft in a major city. And then you got to be alone. You got to get a dog. And the dog's got to be like, you got to get out, man. But tell you with your eyes, you know,
right.
And find somebody, you know. And then you have to run through, like, at the end. It's like you meet her. And it's kind of a he said, she said. Like, maybe you have the same job. You're reporters or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And
because
of some misunderstanding... You know, whatever. I thought that was romance. I thought that was life. You know, I thought that that's what you needed in life. And I remember in the eighth grade, I'll never forget this. This girl, she was like, I like you. And I was like, yes, I think I said something like, I'm not in love with you, but I'm in care with you.
Like
something crazy.
Eighth grade.
Crazy.
Wow.
Because my brother would watch romantic comedies, and then he poisoned my brain with romantic comedies because I'd seen all of them. I was watching When Harry Met Sally in the fourth grade. That's not good.
I get it. It's one of my favorites. It does mess with you. It really does. I loved it so much. You can see I did get myself a Billy Crystal.
Look at you.
Minus blackface. And, you know, it really works out.
I didn't know we were ever going to talk. Oh, yeah. Billy Crystal did Sammy Davis Jr. But people don't know that he actually also did Prince, and he did it pretty well. I have to admit, because I thought Billy Crystal was Prince for a long time, because the first SNL I ever watched, Billy Crystal's in blackface doing Prince, and he goes, live from New York, it's Saturday night. And I was like, that's Prince. And my dad was like, that's not Prince.
To be fair, we didn't know blackface was bad in the 1980s. To be fair.
We hadn't had enough time.
No.
Jordan just spit water on himself.
I just spit water.
Andy's fault.
Thank you, Andy. Well done, sir. Well done. My God, my co-work space My coworkers are going to kill me. Oh my gosh. Look, guys, let me tell you something. Do you want to know the keys to being married? Is that what you guys want to know? I don't know.
We didn't ask that. You're now taking over. I feel so comfortable. Pull us into what you want to talk about.
What I want to know is,
when did you break out of this rom-com
ideology? I was wondering if it was the wife.
No, that was sad to say, no. My wife and I definitely had a kind of a rom-com beginning.
Oh.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes, but also,
because I also want to know how much of this, was it a real rom-com beginning, or were you orchestrating rom-com?
Oh, yeah. Did you, like,
he was
Silence of the Lambs. Did you ask her to help you get a couch
He was constantly walking around holding loose papers, mm-hmm. and he just kept seeing who he could bump into. And then he's like, who will help me pick up my
loose papers?
Right, but
that's what I'm saying. It's the rom-com version of... What's the character? Yeah. Billy the Butcher. I forget his name from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, keep bringing up Silence of the Lambs, and I won't allow it.
Buffalo Bill. Were you Buffalo the rom-com Bill. Buffalo Bill setting a trap?
Well, here's what I did. I kept going to the same coffee shop and putting a small lid on a big thing of coffee and being like, does anybody see this? And then they're like, we shared a moment. Okay, it's bad. It used to be considered romantic, but it can't be considered romantic anymore. 13th Street, 4th Avenue, there's a place called Spa. It is no longer there, okay? It is not only where I met my the first lady to ever celebrate with me fully and my life, but it is also where I met my wife, so which is insane. But like, so yes. I meet her at 13th Street, 4th Avenue. We're in this club. She's...
Oh, it's a club.
I see her.
Spa's, it's
a club.
It's called Spa, but it is a club.
It is a club.
Coffee shop.
It was right. It is a club. We're in the club, and friends of friends. I have a friend of a friend that's a DJ there, and she knows the DJ as well. And so we're all there, just as a bunch of kids right out of college, just a group, just having fun. And I see her. She looks amazing. She's like in a Puma jumpsuit. I was like, who dis? And then I was like, out of my league. Don't do it, Carlos. And then suddenly we're kind of like in these, at one point we're in these booths, right? She's on the other side, like in a diner. She's on the other side of the booth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when Muppets Take Manhattan, how they're like, they find Kermit. So she's on the other side. And then I hear her talking about the Civil War. She's like talking about the
at
Civil
the club.
War.
And
at
she's like, it was a mistake. And you're like, I got to meet this person.
Right. So like, that'd be hilarious. But I was like, okay, do I risk it all for this person? All right. So, and so she's talking about the Civil War. And I was like, so talk about the Civil War, dummy. So I turn around and I'm like, I heard you talking about the War of Northern Aggression. And then like, and so we're just like talking and talking. And then I realized, like, people are starting to move away because they're like, thank God, I don't have to talk about the Civil War anymore.
Yeah.
And these two will talk about
these
it.
These so nerds. Just, leave these nerds alone.
One drink after another. I'm like, this beautiful woman is talking to me about something that, I mean, the Ken Burns of it all. Just talking to her. And then finally, she's like, or no, this guy's like, hey, we're going to the VIP. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, forget this guy, right? And I was like, oh, no. No, 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 no. And then I didn't get her number. So then what I did was, because it was a Tuesday night, I just returned to that club every Tuesday for a full month. Until she, that's back in the day, that was known as romance. Now.
That's not that crazy. You had stalker.
Well, it had a touch of stalk. It has a touch of stalk. You're waiting for the girl.
Yeah.
You know, you're waiting for the girl. But the difference is, like, she wasn't there every Tuesday and you watched her from afar.
Yeah.
We were waiting for her to return.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a stalk.
We like Jordan. We like him.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming up with excuses. I appreciate it. Thank you for rationalizing my creepy behavior. So
if you had gone any further, I think I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah. I mean, surveillance, that's a great love language. But I feel like what happened was, so finally she comes back. But she's in the VIP section.
Oh, my Lord. Who does she know? She's always in the VIP on a Tuesday night.
NSA is both no strings attached and the National Security Agency.
She knew the biggest coke dealer in all of Park Slope, Brooklyn, by the way. And yeah.
What? Yeah. When I tell you Jordan's wife seems like the fanciest blonde lady I've ever seen, to know that this all started with a Puma jumpsuit and a coke dealer, I can't imagine. Because she's like put together, you guys. She's like put together. She's giving she's you cute together. Sweaters.
Now, is this coke stepped yeah. on or is this pure?
This is Merc coke. Straight from the lab. Straight from the lab.
Never smoked pot. I have yeah, a lot of questions. Yeah.
No, it's great. Thank you. This is medicinal coke. No, so he had an in at DuPont. All right, so I go over to where she is, and I basically like yell like hi, it's me, and she's like, who the fuck are you?
Oh!
I was like,
like, remember the battle in Antietam when we were talking about it?
Appomattox Courthouse. This guy scored a 5 on the AP. You know, and then so I give her my number, and I'm like, please come to the show. I got a show. Like, I had a show
for 2 days. Lord, comedian. You know, this is what
two
these
days.
Male comedians do.
It's all
do.
We got. It's all we got,
say,
man.
Come to my
a
show.
Show.
Did I invite you to a show?
Yeah, but we might have been already together.
I'm going to tell you something, though. I definitely, that was not something I regularly did. I did not invite people to shows because it was just like, this was like, it was a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm telling you, meet me out, you know, let's have a date, get to know who I am. Let me mm-hmm. scare you off in a public place. So I go and I do this show. This is at the old Gotham Comedy Club. Really going to date myself here. Going to carbon date myself here and say it was on. That's when it was on 22nd Street. It had to move up to 23rd, y'all. So it's, so it's on 22nd Street, and I do this show, and she comes to the show.
Okay.
With a date.
Oh brother.
Right.
So it's a coke dealer.
It wasn't. It was another guy. And I was like, oh, my God. I can't win. Right?
Right.
So then my friend at the time, he was like, dude, just go out there and have it. I explained what happens. He's like, just have the time of your life. Don't worry about anything else. Just go and do great. And that's it. Because
you saw you saw her before the show, before you got on stage. That's like annoying.
Yeah.
We don't like that. We don't like that. We don't need that.
Right down front with this guy.
Oh.
Right down front with this guy.
Did you roast him?
I did not. I roasted him with my performance. Huh. And I was like, I torched it. I did really well.
That's good. We need that. You needed that.
I needed that. And I was like, at the end, you know. And then at the end of the show, she comes up to me. She's like, that was really great. Thank you for inviting me. We had a great time. And I was like, I'm so happy. And then, because I comped her.
Okay, and, I was going to say, okay, you comped her. Wow. You know what? Actually really rude for her to bring a date.
Yeah.
Because now that it's comped, it's like she knew what this was. She's been comped.
Yeah. And then she introduces me to the guy. And she's like, this is my brother. And I was like.
Oh. Yeah.
Gave We're off to Costa Rica.
Huge hug. I gave him a belly-to-belly hug. It was like not even comfortable. I was deeply in his personal space. So after that, she was just like, she did not start dating me after that at all. We were just friends for a long time. And then finally, you see how Naomi, you see how pretty she is, you know, there's a valid kind of like, I wouldn't call it a gripe or argument, but it is a great notion and a great observation that funny dudes, cishet dudes, do have the leg up because, like, you know, they are able to use their humor to be with beautiful women, right? And that is not how it did not at least manifest, or it was slowly gestating. I'll put it that way. She definitely, like, dumped me. She dumped me after I told her I loved her.
What?
Yeah, she dumped me.
How long have y'all been dating?
What part of Brooklyn do you not understand? What part of Brooklyn don't you understand? We went out and we traveled together. I said, I love you.
Wait, how old are y'all at this point? 23, 4?
We were 3 years old.
23, 24. So you and you guys, okay. And
how long were you together?
When you said I love you. Yeah, we're talking 2 weeks?
We're talking about a solid 4 months.
Okay. Yeah, early, but also but not, like, crazy. Not crazy.
Yeah. I said, you know what? I love you, girl. I said, I love you.
You said it just like that? Like you were like you were talking during an R&B song? The guy was like, hey, yo, I love you, girl. And yes. Tonight, I'm going to celebrate that.
I was at celebrate each other's bodies.
We ran for at the same time, Dan, but you got there first.
I was the other member of Shy. I was the other member of Boyz II Men. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I just feel good about this, and I love you. And she was like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. And then she dumped me. And you know what happened, though?
What?
I bought a car. I bought an old car that was about to die, and it was stick shift, and I didn't know what to do with my life. So I was just like, I'm going to buy this car. So I did, and I couldn't drive stick shift, and my roommate was trying to teach me, but he was having too much fun laughing at me at intersections in New York City because they honk at you if you don't move forward in 2.2 seconds. You know, because everybody, where are you going? Where are they going in New York? You know,
actually,
everybody,
real places. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take New York. Here where? In Los Angeles, no. I don't accept the honk. But New York, sure.
I've got tickets to a Broadway show.
I guess it's mostly dudes in Maximas just like, trying to navigate around, like, you know, they got I don't know. Anyway, the point of all this is all that to say, that I was like, oh yeah, I think she drives stick. So I call her up. I'm like, listen, bought a car. I don't know how to drive stick. I know how to drive stick. Could you just teach me how to do that?
Of course, we both then the same question.
Go ahead, Andy. Go ahead.
Did you buy this car that you would eventually have to call
Why
her?
Would I?
Hello.
What? Are you
okay,
mad?
Let me tell you.
You are the mad. Buffalo Bill of rom-com.
This is Buffalo Billing. I would wager, though, it's more of a, it is a subconscious thing. Not like, oh, I have to call her, but you like her. You love her. She's gone. And to me, at first, I thought when you said you bought an old car, I was like, okay, you're going to fix the car as you fix yourself. You know, something like that. But then it was like, you were like, oh, I'm learning to drive stick, which she drives because she's cool and she's Brooklyn and she's a tough broad who don't love. And so then you were like, I'm going to become tough.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drive stick and be tough. Like her, the woman I love.
I was just trying to forget about her. Do you understand?
But then you call her.
Here's where Freud does make sense. The unconscious, your unconscious desires.
Yes. Oh my God.
Came out.
Yes.
In this purchase.
In this purchase. Because I would have been comfortable calling the person who said bye after I said I love you. Like, it was a risk. To call her even was a big risk.
And
say,
here's the deal.
Teach me.
Again, Brooklyn. I said I had to figure out that she was breaking up with me.
What do you mean?
I said, I love you. She did not say it back. It got really cold between us. And I was like, are you breaking up with me? And I had to figure it out. And then I had to leave. And that's when I was like, I'm going to buy this little car.
A car version of you. Uh-huh. Of Lady I Love.
This little Lightning McQueen car. It totally is. It's a beautiful, it's like this little, I bought it for a song. It's called a 2002. It's a BMW 2002. It's like a tiny, fun little racer, just like me. Sporty. Look at me. Look at me.
Sporty. Look at your hat. Look at your baseball cap.
I'm such a little black Rick Moranis. Anyway. So then I found myself unable to drive it. I was like, she can drive it. And this is going to be platonic because she doesn't love me. So it's going to be fine. And then she was like, this guy's kind of moving on a little bit. He's kind of moving on. He's got himself a car. He just wants lessons. She didn't like that very much. And so by the fourth lesson, I mean, we were back in gear. You see what I'm saying? We were back in gear.
In gear. You were in gear. In the stick shift.
By the fourth lesson, you had her in a pit in your basement. And you were lowering lotion down in a bucket.
Andy, she didn't need lotion, but she white. She might, but she does. A light oil.
And how much lotion? How much lotion do I use to stay?
But you don't do the elbows and like the. You don't do the creases.
I'm starting to do the neck though.
That's true. You should. But she was raised. She was the only white kid in her class, so she definitely moisturizes every day.
She moisturizes every day.
At night, she doesn't put on like a do-rag or anything like that, or a bonnet. My white wife put on a bonnet, silk bonnet. But she's not afraid of Shea and Coco. I'll tell you that right now. She's not afraid of Shea and Coco. So that's what got us back together, and then we were like together ever since that time.
And then she said, I will not be doing year five of this. You better learn how to drive.
Yeah.
And then you proposed.
And then I proposed. Or we both proposed. Because her parents never got married. So her parents were together for 25 years and were never married. New York. have four kids. Raise them in a wacky brownstone. I mean, it's a sitcom. But it's like, you know, So she had certain kind of like hesitations and reservations about matrimony. So
yeah,
that was it. Yeah. You know, yeah. But wow. Yeah, two kids later. Mortgage
20
later.
Years.
You know what it is.
Strong.
You know what it is. 20 years? No, 15.
Almost. Well, no. Wait. I thought you said married.
Oh, knowing
15.
Each other. Married 15. Knowing each other 20. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right. That's
like you'd been through 20 years of knowing a person, being together. My goodness.
But we just had, I don't know. Should I be telling this on, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Is this a safe space? But we
Absolutely.
Just had our best sex.
And look at that. That's gorgeous. I mean, Andy and I'm sex negative. He's sex neutral. But we really do appreciate.
We celebrate other people's.
Celebrations. We will celebrate your celebration.
And it was by accident. It was. I slipped and fell into the grass on a banana peel. No. It was like. Do you want to know how it happened?
Not really.
Sure. You know what?
It's not negative and nooch. Go ahead. And you sure? I am now.
Well, I think I'm putting myself in the place of the listeners at this point.
That's true. The listeners will love to know how do you accidentally have great sex?
I got drugged.
What?
Well,
are you part of MK Ultra? What do you mean you got drugged?
MK Ultra, the government experiment. No. Yes. Okay. So here's what had happened. We went to Cayman, Grand Cayman.
Okay.
not just Cayman, Grand Cayman.
Sure. Okay. Let's.
Now we know where your money is stashed.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It was my sister's 40th birthday. We love her. We're celebrating her. Now her boyfriend is great. Okay. He brought sand to the beach, if you know what I mean. He brought in Las Dragas. And I was like, why did you bring them here? Why did you do that to us? You're risking everything. So I'm, you know, I'm fun dad. I'm cool dad. I'll have a couple eddies at night when I'm putting my kids to bed. That way when they're like, can we read another Dr. Seuss? I'm like, sure. You know, like whatever. I'm fun. You know, in your 40s, you have to declare that you're fun. Anyway, so I like.
And eddies are tabs of acid with. Pictures of Ed, and Eddie, the cartoon characters on it.
Yes,
right?
yes, absolutely.
Andrew!
All of it's true. All right, so her boyfriend brings these yummies, and we ask him, like, you know, how much is each gummy? And he's like, oh, it's five million. Great, we're going to do these.
Is that a lot? Nice. Well, you're talking to two
five
people.
Is low and normal.
Five is very normal. Yeah. Five is very normal. Anything below five, I mean... Five can be a big trip for like a smaller person. If you have a smaller circulatory system, then you're going to get like it's probably going to be a little stronger for you. But if you're above a certain height and a certain size, then
and you're used to Eddies with Dr. Seuss, it's not going to do something.
Now, what kind of high is this? Is this a heady high? Is this a more of a body?
Andy, it's not acting like you know drugs.
It's a body high. It was a sativa. So, what happened was. Five. If you text five to somebody, it can either mean five or 500. Like, if you're talking about 500, right? It can mean five, like, as in, if we're talking about hundreds or thousands. But you would say, like, five, right? But 5 milligrams, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what he says, 5 milligrams. And then we take it, and we go to the ionosphere. We go beyond. We are in the asteroid belt. I know I've just said ionosphere and then asteroid belt, but we are gone. We are gone. And then we're alone together. So we hook up, and then we have what is the most mind-blowing experience of our life. So I highly recommend it to anybody that wants to, you know, jumpstart their heart.
You gotta find Jordan's sister's boyfriend wherever he's procuring things. He say a 5 milligrams and really 45, and then
did you ever find out what that THC content was?
Yeah,
for real?
Because we had to go to dinner that night. First of all, we knew we were high when he was like, we'd taken it. It was taking effect, and he goes, You guys want to go on a jet ski? And we laughed so hard. I thought I was like. Is Steve Harvey whispering in my ear right now? I was like laughing so hard. I was like, what is going on? Why am I laughing this hard at this? And then I was like, oh boy. Oh, we did it. And then he was like, oh, when I said 5, I meant 50. How does 5... How do you, you can't...
No. 5 is one number and 50 is another number.
They don't even... Yeah. They're not even the... It's not similar.
There's no shorthand for 50. 50
exactly.
is 50.
Versus... Two syllables versus one?
Yes.
No, this is wow.
So I was drugged and then and then at one point, which was great because I remember everything. My wife remembered nothing, but she was like, that was the best. You're the best.
Oh, don't worry, it was the best. She's like, okay, I guess so.
We agreed. She's like, I even told my therapist that was the best and that like you've ruined me. And I was like, great. And so then, at one point, we had to like, it felt like we just had to call it. We had to call it because it wasn't ending. We're just like, we got to call it like a game. And then I was like, that's enough. We have banged to a draw. And then like, so basically we then said, I'd seen everything, you know, the moon, the stars, quasars, everything. And I remember saying, I believe everything. I believe everything. I believe in energy. I believe in everything. I believe in God. I believe in the devil. I believe in everything. That's how high I was. So all that to say, she usually takes 2.5 milligrams.
Oh, and Jesus!
That's nothing. That's right.
I'm saying that's nothing compared to 50, which is why I'm like, I can't believe
20 times the amount that you normally take.
Be with someone you trust and know for decades.
20 years.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then you could just stumble into the greatest sex of your life.
Someone then, once did a line with and talked about Gettysburg.
Absolutely. Listen, I felt like, because we're both huge history buffs, and she was just like, it feels like Alexander the Great, when Alexander the Great wept when he realized there were no more lands to conquer. And then you're like,
good Lord. Go back to Spa. Sit in a booth with that nonsense. Please do.
I don't know. It's dumb. I'm sorry. I'm earnest. It sucks. And so anyway.
No, that's so funny.
Yeah, but now we're like, well, how do we ever again? And I was like, I don't know. So it's a journey. It's a journey. But, you know, sober sex is great sex. But it's fun. But that was fun in that even when you're 15 years into marriage, 20 years together, you can still surprise yourself, which is really, really fantastic. And I love that.
Yes,
I loved
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, in 5 years, you guys will be making meth in your bathroom to try to
get my God.
High again.
Oh, my God. I'm bring in Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, you're like watching Breaking Bad trying to figure out the like, all right, well, he has this chemical.
Maybe we can get that. I don't know. Go, honey, steal it
Where
from
do
the science
lab. Where do we get the methylamine? How can we steal methylamine from a train?
Get the Bunsen burners.
Get the Bunsen burners from the school.
I know it's got to be blue. That's all I know.
That's how you know it's good. If it's blue, it's good. And you should also make sure that you never know numbers. And you constantly say 5 when you mean 50. You got to say 12 when you mean 200. Just keep people guessing. That'll be part of the brand.
No, but it taught me a lot in that, like, I would never, unless I was literally duped by someone into so like I realized I'd never been high. I'd actually never been high. And I'd actually never been drunk. And I'd actually never had sex until like I had it this way. You know, like you're like, okay, today I was born. All right. You know, like today I was born and I get it. Like this is a lot for me.
Yeah. and we get it. And now that I feel like we are prepared, why don't we answer at least one
question?
We've
got to get one question.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yes. Jordan has seen, you've been to another stratosphere, so I think you can bring that perspective.
You've been to the Cuvier belt.
You can bring that perspective. So we will be right back with Jordan Carlos.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
With Jordan Carlos still high from 5 months ago, here to help you handle your scandal, honey.
We have named two of the kings of comedy during this so far. Can we name the other two? Can we name the other two before this is over? Naturally, it has to become organic.
Absolutely.
All right.
Done.
All right. So we get questions from all over, from Gmail, from Twitter, from Instagram, voicemail, of course, our favorite name.
I love it.
What is that number?
323-524-7839. Now, come on, y'all. It's a 3-minute limit. So you better give me a top line thesis, and then you better get to it, because if you get cut off before you get to the good stuff, I don't even know how to help you.
Now, I got to say, this one is entitled Celebrate Sans Marriage. So this was, again, completely... by accident that this is what I chose. I just thought it would be an interesting one. So here we go.
You got to celebrate.
Hey, Andy, Naomi, special guest, and all the furry friends. First of all, I love your voicemail greeting. I didn't expect that for some reason. So that was a nice surprise. My name is, well, you can call me Kay. She, they pronouns. I am a cisgender female in a relationship with a cisgender male. We have been together for 10 years. We both grew up in very conservative evangelical homes and have since, really done a 180 from that, leaving that form of toxic religion. But that being said, we grew up in, you know, very heteronormative families and cultures in which we... we're expected to get married, essentially, right away. And we haven't. We've been together 10 years. We talk about marriage occasionally, but not in any sort of serious way. And there's part of me that feels like I'm missing out a bit on this whole marriage thing, but I have a lot of complicated feelings about the institution of marriage, and the patriarchal roots of that, especially with my religious background. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is, you know, just curious about thoughts around how to kind of honor, perhaps celebrate a long-term relationship that's not a marriage relationship. I think marriage and the wedding ceremony and all of that offers a way to kind of celebrate the relationship. And I just wish that there was an option like that. And I know that I can create it. So I guess I'm looking for ideas around how to kind of create that celebration or commitment, you know, kind of all of the beautiful parts of what marriage can mean, without getting married and doing all the legal, patriarchal, heteronormative parts of it. So hope you can answer this, and I look forward to all the ideas. Thanks. Bye.
Wow.
What are your thoughts, Jordan? What do you think?
You know, Cedric the Entertainer once said, if you're going to...
What?
You can't dance with the devil and not pay the fiddler. But I do think that in this modern day and age, it's just a ceremony. So if you want to celebrate a milestone together, there are so many outlets for which to do this.
Yeah.
There are so many places that will have you. People are so understanding now. You know, like some of my favorite places, I don't know where this person is, but some of my favorite places, like in upstate New York, they're like, people happy together? Come on, let's celebrate. That's
yeah.
Let's
Tarrytown.
Tarrytown. Fantastic. I mean, yeah, and it's not, and by the way, people won't judge you if you want to have this celebration. They really won't.
Well, also, I'm gonna tell you this, girl. I'm gonna tell you this right now. You doing it right, because I tell you, if you don't do this marriage, you're saving yourself a lot of money. We can have a party.
Just say party. And suddenly, whatever that number was for whatever, the venue for the invitations or whatever, suddenly it goes, it's one quarter of what it was when it was a wedding.
So I say, so I'm like, trust me, you don't have to do that. But I also think there's an easy way to, so you said y'all been together 10 years. You can do something cute. And again, spitballing, I'm no party planner. Lucky 13, celebrating 13 years together.
Do an actual, we called ours because we got married on our 13th anniversary. We called it Lover's Bar Mitzvah. Why not
have that's so sweet.
Or bat mitzvah for your relationship.
Yes, you're full grown. You know, you could do something, because I think anniversaries are just as valuable. Mm-hmm. Something that says, like, we've been together a long time. And I think coming off of lockdown and stuff like that, too, this could be a chance for just to get people together, right? Because it seems like what you want is you want the gathering. You want to be able to see people and go, look what we've done. Maybe if you don't want to tie it to a year, I don't know if you guys are looking for a new apartment or a house or doing and I'm not saying buy something. I'm not saying, like, trust me, I'm trying to save you money. But if it's like, oh, we moved into a place we love, a housewarming or just like a celebration, something again that kind of, and it doesn't have to be at the place, but it can be nearby. You can do something in a park. You can say, here's a patio, like a restaurant patio we like. Do a little moment.
Here's a restaurant patio.
I only go to patios. I only eat outdoors. So I'm like, what's a restaurant with a cute patio? Something that's like nice looking, I guess is my point.
Yes.
Because you can wear a dress you like, if that's how you want to dress. You know what I mean? Like, you can still dress it up. You can have pictures taken.
Does the local TGI Fridays have an outdoor area?
Something cute. Something cute. Can we get
Barney's
a step in repeat?
Beanery. Yeah, absolutely.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think those are the two things that you want the most. Or not you specifically, caller, but I think one, when we're talking about these events, you want a reason to like get gussied up and you want to capture it. You want the pictures. And those are things that you can do.
Yes.
Whether it's a wedding or not, you know, get a photographer and say, hey, we're doing this for 4 hours. Capture the moment, or we're going to take some shots, you know, of us looking nice and like 12 years in, 11 years in. And I'm just doing that because you said you just hit 10. If you just want to wait a year or two, I'm trying to give you a chance to like
really
to plan it. I'm pushing for planning.
10 is
like,
a lot of pressure. 10 is a lot of pressure. Maybe 11 would be great because it's like prime number. You know, you guys got married.
That's prime. You know what I mean? I'm setting up the theme. I'm setting up the stationery. I'm setting up the whole
thing. And everyone that comes, you give a free subscription to Amazon Prime.
Yo.
Your favorite. Who we are on strike against.
We don't like them. Yeah, don't give. That's why I said do this in a couple years. Don't do this now.
Yeah.
But Jordan's right. It should be a prime number. Just so you can.
I love it. Number. I love a good. You want to set people some person straight, like in a good way. Like I was talking to this 29-year-old. They're like, I'm gonna be 29. I was like, that's a prime number. It's a prime year. You're in the prime of your life. And they're like, oh my god, he's right. He's right. But I think that this person has a wonderful problem in that, you know, they are living the life that they want to live. Mm-hmm. But it's, yes, marriage is, and these institutions and rights, you can be so bogged down and weighed down and guilt-ridden by your family through, you know, through these institutions that you feel like you have to drag yourself to the altar. And that's just not, that's just not true. You can have a wonderful relationship. No matter, I mean, maybe you're just going to be with this person for the rest of your life. Maybe it's an the length is indeterminate, but you seem very happy.
Right.
And you know what? If people can't celebrate your happiness, just, you know, try to celebrate with people that can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's something, too, though, that we both noticed, too, in our wedding. For both of us, we feel like our parents do regard us differently. Even though we've been together 13 years, we've moved out to L.A., made a life, I ain't asked you for money in over a decade, like the symbols of being a put-together adult. It was something about us getting married where my mom was like, where she's like, it just feels like you've gone away. And I'm just like, well, I've been on a three-hour time difference now for about 7 years. Like, it's not... But it was the wedding, and I think Andy's parents, too. I think for them, they felt like we were like the creative little kids playing house somewhere. And the wedding gave them a chance to be like, well, look what our kids did.
Yeah.
But that is, I'm speaking of what you're saying, too. It's like, that's like your parents' generation's baggage, right? Their need for a wedding to somehow prove that they did good as parents because you're doing what's supposed to be done is their issue. It's actually, it's like, you're happy, like, it's like, okay. You know what I mean? If you happy, if you with somebody who's safe, who treats you well, and as I said, because my litmus test is always like, Ma, have I had to ask you for money? That means I'm doing good. You know, like literally, if I can take care of myself, then we're fine. And it's like, so I think it's that, and so I think something like this, where, you know, you do your version of the thing, you know, and however you tell people, where it's like, of course you want people to come. And I think people will. I think, first of all, people love a nice party. You know what I'm saying? So if you're like, come, we're going to, like, and whether it's a wedding or not, because that's another thing, too. I don't like going to weddings. I like going to the events of people I care about.
Yes.
I ain't going to a wedding just because it's a wedding.
Exactly. I don't care what it, like, what you're celebrating. If you're someone that I care about, whether it's, it can be your child, your relationship, you just wrote a book, you won a mini golf championship. I don't care what it is, I will go celebrate you. As long as there's at least some good food.
There's got to be some good food. There's got to be something hot, you know?
Andy, I can depend on you to come to my pitch and putt? Is that what you said?
Yes. Did you do... You know what? All honestly, you didn't have to win anything. You're just like, you know what? I played pitch and putch. Pitch and putch? This is Nazi Germany.
I will say that it's kind of interesting because I'm not usually a host. I have this kind of like thing where, oh my God, this is therapy, where I do feel like I'm like, my house isn't good enough for people to come to. You know?
And then, that way.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, we should have like a bagel party sometime, me and wifey, and then people can hang out on our stoop and it'll be nice. And like, they could just see how proud we are of this house. And then I was just like, but there's never a good time for that. Oh, by the way, my alter ego is just a lump of flesh that lives on my shoulder. He's like, meh, it's never
like a blobfish.
Yes, a blobfish. It's a Ted Cruz blobfish just sits there on my shoulder saying negative things. And I'm like, I'm just never going to do this. But it, what I, all that to say that you should celebrate. That's what this is all about. You should celebrate bodies. You should celebrate life. And you should celebrate before it's too late. And you should celebrate with the people that make you happy. And sometimes even the ones that, like, you're going to try. And you can only do so much. I mean, this is all so obvious, but it's like, and easy for me to say, but even if your parentals don't like it, they're free to leave, you know, like after a while. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think this was like, I think no one can really argue with like, it is no easy feat. Because I always use the phrase, we making love work. And that's what I really think it is. It's like there's no easy feat to maintain a relationship for 10 years, especially given what the last 10 years have been. Okay.
As dystopia descent.
Through COVID?
As the empire crumbles.
I'm like, let's acknowledge this. Let's have a hurrah. There are ways you can do it without breaking your budget.
I think we should be doing even more celebrating.
Yes.
I think we should not really. I mean, I was joking about the mini golf thing, but like we should be having parties all the time now.
We really should.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, you know,
guys, look, Logan Roy is dead. We are in the last days of disco. We need to celebrate more. And by the way, I understand because I was raised in a conservative like Christian upbringing. And in
how
the
conservative?
South.
Like evangelical?
Not evangelical, but definitely like, you know, kind of, we were in a small black church, but you went to church. I went to church 3 times a week.
Okay.
And I wasn't Catholic, you know, I went to church 3 times a week for Tuesday service. Wednesday you had usher practice. And I believe on Friday was like choir practice. And then on Sunday, we went to both morning and evening services. So Jesus was like,
he did the same set though, right? Wasn't the same set morning and evening?
No, he didn't see Usher. It wasn't that kind of Usher practice.
I meant, but like Sunday,
Jesus,
if you go to morning and evening,
set? Yes,
the preacher
Jesus
did the same set.
Oh, the preacher,
the preacher did the same set.
No, preacher did an evening. He did an evening sermon, and you know what? I think after a while, Jesus was like, let me miss you. You know, like, I need some space.
Right, right. But y'all always up in here.
I asked my very good friend who I'd grown up with to, you know, officiate my wedding. Now, my wife was raised communist, and she she was raised like, you know, like her parents like ran with like Asada Shakur and this crew.
Oh, really?
And they were like, yeah, they were rebels, man. Yeah, they were definite. They're radicals. They're radicals.
Were they in the Weather Underground? What were they doing in the 60s?
They knew them. They were definitely, they weren't Weather Underground, but they were definitely forecasters. They knew them. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
They were in it, and they you know lived up to their convictions. But my that's just she, and my wife was just born into that. Now, when I asked my friend who is a minister, if he would, you know, officiate, he was like, nah, I'm not going to do that because it took him a long time to come to know, but he's like, because she's not Christian and like that would be ungodly. And honestly, sometimes I think I stay married to my wife in part just to like stick it to this guy.
know? Okay. Are y'all still friends?
No, he will always be my friend. But that was definitely a falling out.
Yes,
you know?
That's a polite way of saying no.
Yeah,
right. Like we're like, I wish him well, but we don't really talk no more.
Yeah, we don't do the same drugs no more. But like, it was just like, I mean, it just hurt so much that the person that you love and the way you want to love them is not doesn't meet the standards of friends and family. And I knew in that moment that I just had to go forward and be with this person. And you know, this is probably, you know, like you got to be brave and just love people and be in the relationship that you're in. Mm-hmm. And because in the end, no one's keeping score. Mm-hmm. So do you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Two things. One, is 79 a prime number?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, that's why Biden's running again. Everyone's been telling him he's in the prime of his life.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, great.
Oh my God.
That's it. I had to get that out of my head.
It's also, Joe Biden is the Haley's Comet of like, of candidates at this point. 84, maybe. I don't know. You said 79? All right, cool. Every 84 years, Joe Biden. Okay, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Two, is there a ceremony that you can find from a culture that is matriarchal in nature?
Giving Wiccan
yeah,
moments.
Something, but like there are cultures that are matriarchal.
Right, something else,
and do they have like a commitment ceremony? That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
a commitment ceremony from a
Wiccan
different
probably,
culture.
Right?
Yeah,
that isn't where the patriarchy isn't so baked into every molecule.
Right,
and then maybe look for that as inspiration.
Yes, this could be a fun romantic research project.
Yeah,
like as a couple being like, what is resonating with us? What do we want to do? Because this is actually fun. You get to plan a party, in essence, and a celebration the way you want it.
Yes.
And that is so much more freeing, because as people who recently planned a wedding, you know, we were definitely at times feeling like, well, what is expected of this event? And yeah. what do we give to people based on that expectation? And this time you get to kind of throw some of that out of the window. I truly believe that as long as you feed people, you can do whatever else
ski
you want
ball.
Around that.
We wanted, it was too expensive. We wanted skee ball at our wedding. We wanted there to be like a...
Yeah, what?
Like, it was just ball.
But it's very expensive to rent like skee ball machines.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
They're, and we were they're, like, damn it.
Skee balls are very rare. They're made from a cork in Spain.
It's like crazy how expensive they are, which I was like, oh, just yeah. to rent this for the
just
day.
To rent. But if it's a party and not a wedding and you're saving money on every other aspect, maybe
might be able to.
Have the money for skee ball machines.
You never know. But Andy, what, skee ball's just for us. I don't think that they
whatever the
ball.
Equivalent is for your relationship.
What was the for us aspect of your wedding then? What was the most for us aspect that you had?
Having a friend officiate, so
oh,
you know,
yeah,
it was not
sure.
religious, it was
beautiful.
Like really just kind of personal and funny. And
it was.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest thing. And
desserts.
Oh yeah, we had an array of desserts as opposed to like watch us cut cake. Not having a bridal party. That was another for us thing where it's like, stop it on it. You know, I can't
I love
stand
that.
It. I can't stand it.
Same deal. Same deal. I love that. I love that for you. Did you do fondant at all in any of the cakes?
No. There were no cakes. It was Nutella cupcakes.
Okay.
Black and white cookies. bread pudding.
Black and white.
Well, he loves black and white.
And
I don't love them. He got them from New York.
That you're an interracial couple.
I hate black and white. Andy loves
black
and
white cookies.
And we got them shipped from New York City.
We found the best ones.
It has to be the right ones.
Yeah.
Some of them are like, what is this crap? But some of them are really good. Did you do what we did, which is we broke the glass, right? And said Mazel Tov. And then we jumped the broom.
We thought about
it. We did think about it. And I think my mom was disappointed, but ultimately we decided not to jump the broom because I was like, well, do we jump the broom with a Jewish man in Los Angeles and I haven't gone to an HBCU? Like, I was worried I wasn't black enough to jump a broom.
Right.
Then I also got
nervous. If you had gone to Howard, then
I could have jumped a broom,
then
maybe.
You could have jumped
the broom. Then I got nervous. Yeah. I was like, literally, the logistics of my dress was like long and poofy, and I just had this image of me tripping, trying to jump, and then just like fucking face planting. So then that made me nervous.
You know what? Yes. You have every reason not to jump the broom, and I understand. It's totally.
But we did. But initially, that was like
that
literally
was
we thought it was
going to
be a step and a jump, and then I chickened out. Basically, I just chickened out.
We did the because my wife's like she's a jock, so we did the jump into the glass.
That's what we also thought about. We thought about every logistical possibility.
And I just imagine a broken ankle. I just imagine you hit you if you don't hit the if you don't jump that like hit the glass right, you're gonna roll, honey. You're gonna
roll my ankle. I roll my ankle. And rolling an ankle in a dress shoe, a lot of fun. You're just feeling like your ankle's just hot the whole time. Oh. And people are like, dance! And like, I cannot. I have a swollen ankle. That's exactly what happened to me.
Oh,
can't do the electric slide with a swollen ankle.
No, you can't.
You can't do the you can't do the electric or the cha-cha. Nope. Nope.
I also chickened out doing the horror, you know, like putting us in chairs because I was
what's wrong with that?
I was
we
just
called
like,
an audible because we were going to do the horror.
Yeah, we like rented special chairs for it and everything.
And then at the last minute, we called an audible, and Naomi's like, "I don't want
nobody there was strong enough." And I said, "I ain't about to fall over." I just really didn't trust the group to hold me.
There were people that were strong enough.
No, they were.
Yes, there were.
We only know riders, gray skin, can't hold a picket sign, riders. And I said they can't do it. I don't trust them. I love them, but I don't trust them.
We aren't known for our bodies. You know, we don't have to, which we always celebrate, but we don't have to do that. You know, no, I know exactly what you meant. Like the people that held up my chair, I was one guy that like, he was like all state linebacker. And so like, I was like, this guy can hold my chair. And then, and that felt fine. I felt secure. I felt safe. If you don't feel safe, don't dance the horror. Don't do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. You guys look so cute, by the way. You look like when Harry Met Sally, if the couples just had to do a podcast. like the interview had to do a podcast. I learned lately that none of that
I know.
Real.
We're never real couples. I know. And it ruined it I was like very upset to find that out because it was very natural. What are you looking at? be so confused?
It's a movie.
Right, but they make it seem like they're doing these interstitials of, like, I mean, and they're giving you grounded real-life performance. Like, literally, there's a point where a woman's talking and the husband's not paying attention. And he's just, like, sitting there silent where I was like, that's a real couple. Like, those people are in love. They've been together 50 years.
All of those people were in production, like, theater production. All of, like, those were all Tevyas. All the men were Tevyas.
It's true. Most of them were Tony winners. But, like, I feel like the one part where the guy doesn't say anything... And she's like, and then he came up to me and he said, I'm Ben Small of the Coney Island Smalls. And I was like, yeah, that's a real person. But it was Rob Reiner doing his whole, like, you know, Spinal Tap thing. Because it was all that was the mockumentary part. You know what I mean? That's what that was. And that is why I have watched one too many rom-coms. So if there's any takeaway from this, it's do drugs with your person. And I don't know. Stop watching rom-coms.
Absolutely.
They all end the same, right?
It's true. Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Thank you so much. This is gorgeous.
Thank you for joining us.
This was gorgeous.
Of course. Listen, I'm with you in solidarity, baby. I'm pointing to my WGA captain's hat. You guys are so cute. Loving it. Very happy for you and all that you've accomplished and everything. And you guys are just a really cute couple. You just really are. You should know that about each other. It's your nice cornerstone of comedy. No pressure. no pressure to stay together.
No, it's okay. We call ourselves the Bowie and Amon of comedy.
Oh, that's really cute. Oh, my God.
No, we don't say it out loud.
No, we don't. That's
We can't say it out loud. We can only joke in the house. We're not. We can never say that out loud.
Bowie and Amon. I love it. Listen, now I got to think up some shit. So I appreciate that about my own situation. But fucking fantastic. I don't even know how these things end.
We ended it. You're the best.
We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.